You'd open your Bibles to James chapter 4, and you'll notice verse 11 to 12. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judges your neighbor? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the people who are here tonight. We pray that you would bless the evening hour and bless those who have come out tonight. We know we are up against a lot of things tonight. Flu and cold and snow and ice and a stupid football game. We pray you'd bless us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Last year, a University of California surveyed Americans to determine their top 10 fears. And the top 10 fears were, first of all, animals like dogs and snakes. Then blood was another fear. The fear of flying turned out to be number 8. The fear of germs turned out to be number 7. Now, I've been visiting a lot of hospitals lately. I have to say I'm a germophobic. I wash my hands when I go into the hospital, before I go into the room, when I come out of the room, before I leave the hospital. So I wash my hands 4 times per hospital. I mean, that's how germophobic I've become. Needles is another fear that people have. Small, enclosed, claustrophobic places, deep lakes and oceans, heights, insects, and number 1 was public speaking, believe it or not. Now, the survey polled all kinds of areas, more than just personal fears. There were different categories of fears. You had fears pertaining to the government, fears pertaining to the economy, fears pertaining to crime-related things, fears pertaining to natural disasters, such as floods and hurricanes and that kind of thing, and fears pertaining to sickness. But of all the people polled about fears, not one said, "My greatest fear is facing God." My greatest fear is facing God. Not one. And let's say we polled Christians about facing God, and we said, what's your greatest fear about facing God? What do you think about that you fear when you think about facing God? Some might say, well, my biggest fear is that when I get before God, I never did really deal with some sin that plagued me. And that is a threat, because the writer of Hebrews said there is a besetting sin that people need to get a handle on. But some could say, that's my biggest fear. I'll get before the Lord, never dealt with that. Someone else might say, well, my biggest fear is that I'll get before the Lord and I know I didn't give regularly like I should have. I mean, that never used our resources, and resources do come into play. I mean, when we get before the Lord, I guarantee you this, nobody's going to say before the Lord, I gave too much. Someone else would say, well, I fear about getting before the Lord knowing I never really tried to do much of anything for God. Oh, I know God gave me things and he gave me different gifts and skills, but I never really used them much to serve the Lord. Someone else might say, well, my biggest fear is that I get before God and I really didn't witness. I mean, I'm supposed to be a witness, but I really didn't take that seriously, so I'm fearful of facing the Lord with that on my resume. James said, I have something else in mind. What I have in mind is getting before God, knowing that you've used your mouth to judge and destroy your brother or sister in Christ. On the floor of the mouth cavity is a muscular organ called the tongue. And James has talked a lot about that in this epistle, because he knew this will be a major judgment issue when we get before the Lord. When we leave our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we gather together in fellowship with them, nobody really knows what we say about them, that is, except God. He knows. And there's no question that James realized that the most devastating of all organs is the uncontrollable tongue, because an uncontrollable tongue can actually murder a person. Now, when you come to these two verses of Scripture, you cannot help but just observe, man, there are 4 key words that show up in these two verses, and they keep recurring multiple times. You've got the word judge, krino, that shows up five times. You have the word law with no article, and anarthrous construction, we'll talk about that, which shows up five times. You have the word speak against that shows up three times. The word brother shows up three times. And when he uses the word speak against, it's kata laleo in Greek. And that's a word that means you verbally speak, you talk against somebody, particularly behind their back. You put them down. You run them down. Perhaps even distort reality, and you say things that are not completely true, and you do it behind their back when they're not there to defend themselves. Now, it's clear that believers were doing that. Some of the believers in the early church were making a series of judgments against each other based on some law that they had invented. They were judging each other. They were speaking out against each other. And James said, "Boy, you better knock that off. You better stop that and stop it now." You know, what's interesting to me is there are certain sins, boy, we see them right now. These are evil things. These are no good. I mean, murder, that's as bad as it gets. Moral issues, we spot them right away. Those are just anti-God, anti-scripture. Stealing, what a horrible thing. Cursing, what a terrible thing. But before we take a serious look at those other things, maybe we better look at our mouth, because we're going to be judged about that. Why do people talk against people? Why do they run people down with their mouths? There's a lot of reasons for that. Some people are just jealous. That's why they do it. They're jealous of somebody else, so they get behind their backs and talking to other people, run them down with their mouths. Some people are out for revenge. Somebody did something, said something they didn't like, and they're just going to attack them from behind as best as they can, use their mouths to do it. Some people just run others down because they want to elevate themselves. That's the motive. I mean, they put somebody else down because they want to exalt themselves. Frankly, there's just too much talk. That's what James says. There's just too much talk. You better think carefully and clearly about what you're saying through your mouth, because you're going to give an account to the Lord. Now, before we tackle this, I want to bring out this point, and that is God does expect us to make judgments. For example, in the scriptures, in Romans, he expects human government, they're going to make judgments against people that do evil. They're supposed to honor those that do good. They're supposed to punish those who do evil. I mean, that's the responsibility of human government, so that means they have to make a judgment. Church leadership, at times they have to make a judgment. They have to determine what's going on. They have to make a decision regarding what's going on. And certainly we know, so are individuals. You have that letter, 2 John, that was written to an older woman. And John said to her, look, you need to make a judgment about people knocking on your door. There are some people that you don't even give a greeting to, and you certainly don't let them into your house. So this is not saying we don't need to make judgments. What it's saying is you don't want to use your mouth to tear another brother or sister down. And what the writer is trying to communicate is, in view of the fact that God is going to judge each of us, grace age believers must stop judging one another and stop speaking against one another. The kind of judgments that he's talking about here are the kind of judgments that aren't consistent with the Word of God. He's talking about speaking down or speaking behind somebody's back. It has no divine authorization at all. Now, every person has a right to his or her own convictions. What we don't have a right to do is use our own convictions as a basis for judging another brother or sister in Christ. And when the text says, do not speak against one another, the pronoun another means another of the same kind. What we don't have the right to do is to use our own little Pharisaical codes and laws to make judgments about another sister or brother in Christ and talk about them behind their back. We don't have that right. The Jewish people had made up all kinds of things. They were judging people by a lot of stuff. They had rules that weren't even in the scriptures, and they had their traditions, and they were looking people over, and they were using that as a basis for making judgments. James says, you better stop it and stop it now. And he says there are three reasons. Reason number one, because speaking judgments against each other is a violation of God's law. Verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Probably the most famous verse about judgment is Matthew 7:1. You hear it all the time. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Which is an interesting verse because, in fact, let me show you something. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you something that people that quote the verse don't even bother to take the time to look at. Verse 1, do not judge so that you will not be judged. And then verse 6 says, don't give what's holy to dogs. So you have to make a judgment who the dogs are. Because you're not supposed to even associate or give anything to them, so they just completely overlook that. But back to my point. A lot of people will throw out that verse right there when it's appropriate or it fits how they think or their framework because they don't want to dare make waves against some false religion or false teacher or somebody that should be confronted with something. They don't want to do that, so they fire off that verse, do not judge lest you be judged. And frankly, that is the most disobeyed verse in the Bible. Because I'll tell you this, believers all the time judge other believers. They'll throw that verse at you. But let me tell you the game they're playing. Behind people's back, they're talking about them behind their back, and they're destroying their reputation. These are the same people saying, judge not, lest you be judged. I saw it. I was just recently in a situation where that very verse was thrown, and as soon as the person left the room, the other person opens their mouth, starts cutting to shreds the person that just left the room. And I'm thinking, it's just hypocrisy here. And the basic point here is if you're speaking evil of another brother or sister at church, if you're cutting them down, if you're talking about them behind their back, you're violating the law of God. When we open our mouths on some insignificant matter in a negative way against another brother or sister in Christ, we break the law of God. When we speak down or against somebody, or we make false allegations behind their back when they're not even there to hear it. So it's done because we're jealous or we're selfishly ambitious, so we're critical and we speak about them and we talk about them behind their back. We're violating the word of God. We're violating the law of God. And the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, talks about that. It's interesting to me that the noun law does not contain an article the, so you're not talking about just the commandments of the Old Testament. We're talking here about the character and quality of the whole Word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament grace. When somebody attacks verbally a brother or sister in Christ, and they just speak against them, and they put them down behind their back, they're in violation of both the Old and the New Testament, the entire Scriptures. Leviticus 19:15 to 18 says, you don't want to do that. It's a violation of Levitical law. Psalm 15:2 to 3 says it prevents one from having a heart that's right with God. If you're talking against your brother or sister in the Lord, you can't even have a heart right with God. Psalm 101:5, it'll put one on a path of destruction by God. God does not look favorably against someone who's going around behind somebody's back saying bad things about him. He listens. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 19, one who sows discord among the brethren is something God hates. He hates it. Romans 1:30, This kind of rambling against people, this kind of using your mouth to slander other people, is that which causes the abandonment of God. In James 2, 8, and 9, it's a violation of God's royal law of grace, which says we are to love one another. Any way you cut this, any way you look at this, if we're using our mouth to speak bad against our brother or sister in Christ, it's against the word of God, it's against the grace of God, it's against the law of God. Now, that does not mean at times somebody doesn't need to be confronted. In fact, flip over to the next to the last verse of the book of James. James chapter 5 and verse 19. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I mean, there are times when you need to go to someone and address it, but you're doing it to their face. You're not putting them down behind their back. And what is so ironic is these believers were judging each other, pretending they're spiritual, pretending they're right with God. They've got their codes and their laws and their rituals. They're going through all those motions. And James says, you want the blessings of God, you want the favor of God, you better knock that off. Hey, the next time you're tempted to do it, you think seriously about this fact. If I open my mouth and behind somebody's back cut down my brother or sister in the Lord hears it, and it is a direct violation of his word and law. And also, I need to remember, I'll face God. I was sharing this morning with some people in our prayer group that I got a letter this week from a guy who's in prison in Virginia, heard our broadcast, says he's really given his life to the Lord, and our broadcast touched his heart. He's in prison for triple murder. That's what he did. He's killed three people. And he says, but if you send me a Bible, it has to be King James. And I'm thinking to myself, let me get this in my brain, if I can get this. I mean, the guy is in prison for triple homicide. And he's saying, but I've got to have a King James Bible. You know why he's saying that, of course. Somebody has told him that. And he's believed it. Many years ago, there was a church north of Grand Rapids that split over that very issue. One family really liked the NIV. Another family liked the KJV. The older people liked the KJV. The younger family liked the NIV. Some of the old stalwarts started talking about the younger family behind their back. They started saying they're not spiritual. They like the NIV. Well, that family left the church eventually. And at the time I knew of the story, they pretty much had given up on going to church. Boy, those old people, they got their way, didn't they? They used their mouths and they got their way. And they destroyed a family over something they don't even know anything about. They made their judgments. They had their own opinions about aversion. And then they violated the word of God and the law of God. And they went and started speaking against another family and they ruined them. James says, knock it off, because you're violating the law of God. Secondly, because speaking judgments against each other is exaltation above God's law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. James doubles down on the point. Not only is one in violation of God's law when they speak against people and judge them, but they're actually putting themselves above the law, because the law of God says, don't do it. So what happens is a person says, I'm going to just share this with you behind this other person's back. You just put yourself a judge above the law of God. You said, the law of God, that's inconsequential to me because I need to share this filthy, dirty gossip. The law says, don't speak against a brother or sister in Christ. Build them up in the faith. Encourage them. And someone who isn't going to do it is basically saying, my views are more important than the Word of God. My position, my perspective is really more significant than God's law. And I don't care whether I obey God's law, I just as soon break it. And if you decide to do that with your mouth, if you decide you're just going to play that game and walk down that road, and you're going to make your judgments based on your own feelings and your own presuppositions and your own conclusions, here's what you need to know. This is the way God sees this. You just have put yourself on a more important authoritative level than His Word. And that, my friends, is serious business. Because according to Revelation 22:18, when we read John's final words at the end of the Bible, he said, don't you add anything to the Word of God. That's deadly serious business when you start doing that. When we make judgments about others, and then we use our mouths to hurt others, we're doing something that is a clear violation of God's Word that is leading us to serious accountability. You want to be afraid of something, be afraid of that. Be afraid of the way you're using your tongue. Now, churches wouldn't do that, would they? I mean, churches wouldn't come up with their own traditions and rules and judge others by them, would they? You know it's true. You know it's true. There used to be a program on television that was funny. It was called The Honeymooners. Starred Jackie Gleason. He played the part of a guy named Ralph Cramden. And he would often say in many of the programs, I've got a big mouth. Well, a big mouth will lead to big judgment. The beauty of the grace of God is He gives His people time to resolve it. My admonition to all of us is start now. Go to work on it. Do not speak against one another. And the third reason is because speaking judgments, that's the prerogative of God. Don't miss that in verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? There's only one person who's really in a position to make an honest, accurate judgment about any of us. And that one is God. So if we start making judgments and telling other people behind their back about our judgments and opinions, we are basically infringing on what is a prerogative of the Lord. Now, one question we would ask is, how do we reconcile passages that say we are to judge? I mean, Paul said to that group in Corinthians, get that guy out of the church. Get him out of there. I mean, don't even delay, just get him out. As I mentioned, John said to that woman, somebody comes to your house and they're presenting a false theology. You don't give them a greeting. Don't even let them into your house. How do we reconcile this? Well, what we discover if we carefully study those passages is that in those contexts, according to the Word of God, it's a violation not to judge. We are to make judgments. Make no mistake about that. But those aren't speculative judgments based on man-made traditions or based on selfish or jealous motives. Those are honest evaluations based on the truth of God. And in those contexts, the purity of the church and the purity of the individual is at stake, and the truth of God is at stake. See, what really gets at the heart of this, and certainly we've been seeing this all throughout James, is the motive for doing something. The motive for making a judgment becomes the key to all of this. And the matter James is addressing is not done with a good motive. He's talking about people that were going behind other people's backs. They're slandering them. They're demeaning them. They're putting them down. That, you know, that can't be godliness. You cannot possibly feel good about yourself if you're going behind somebody's back talking about them. You got to feel dirty if you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And our job is not to set up a series of judgments based on our own convictions. That's not our job. When we do make judgments, they have to be made in light of the Scriptures and the truth of God. Our job is not to invent more codes or laws and then judge other people by our invented codes or laws. When I was a young boy, I had some dreams and fantasies that were basically harmless. I used to pretend to be Superman. I would tie on some cape and jump off something. I never did figure out the gravity problem. I used to pretend to be Al Kaline. I'd take a wiffle ball bat and for hours upon hours would hit stones out into the Kalamazoo River. I used to pretend to be Wilt Chamberlain. In our garage, we had an 8-foot rim. I used to go out there night after night and shoot and play basketball. Those are basically harmless fantasies. But there's a very dangerous fantasy that's played out in the church. It's dangerous. That's the fantasy of playing God. And we need to know this. When we open our mouths for some impure, self-centered, self-aggrandizing reason, and we make judgments against someone, we're doing something that only God has the right to do. And the context of this was doing things that can bring exaltation by God. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. God is not about to bless. You can know this. God will not bless or exalt anybody who's continually running their mouths. He isn't going to do it. That person may get a listening audience. That person may get a little small following. God is not going to bless them. He will never exalt them. Because He will never honor someone who doesn't honor Him. A harsh, critical, backbiting spirit will never be blessed by the Lord. And I'll tell you what our greatest fear ought to be. Our greatest fear should be, I'm going to face God and I don't want to be ashamed. That's mine. That's mine. Our biggest fear should be I'm going to face the Lord and I want to end up having been pleasing to Him. Thank God for His grace and thank God for His patience and His mercy, and He gives us time to make adjustments. But to do that, to have a life that doesn't end up being ashamed, we've got to quit speaking against each other. It's interesting, verse 12 says there's one who's able to save and there's one who's able to destroy. Of course, that one we know is Jesus Christ. In fact, John would say in Revelation, the keys of life and death are actually in His hands. So, one who believes on the Lord is certainly one who's going to be given life. But then, one who believes on the Lord better be very careful about what they're doing with their mouths. May we pray. Our Father, we thank You for the Scriptures. Forgive us for times when we have used our mouths in ways that You would glean or deem blasphemous, evil, sinful. I pray we would mourn over that. I pray we would be convicted about our speech and how we use it. And I pray we'd carefully govern ourselves this week. In Jesus' name, amen.